All right, guys. I'll see you tonight. Leah, gonna come pick me up? Okay. You're wonderful. Thank you. I could call you later and ask then, but... See ya.
Oh, it's a little foggy out here.
Different than we're accustomed to, but there it is. Alright. Put this thing like this. Oh, but it's not very cold. That's nice. We were, I was listening to Stefan Molyneux. I've actually been listening to him for an incredibly long time. I listened to him when he used to record in his car on his way to work. He's gotten to the point now to where he does what he does. Without doing all that. Now, I guess he gets enough money from what he does to make it so that he can do this. It seems like full time. Anyway, so he was poring over the people who are running Ireland right now. They've come out with this big, I don't know if it's even a proposal, I think it's just policies going forward to make a 25-year plan. I'm not a very good communist, so I'm not in favor of long-term 25-year plans because I think things change too much. And these things tend to become misguided pretty fast. Anyway, the plan, of course, is social engineering. That's what all government policy plans are. Social engineering, trying to affect some kind of a future and move toward it. I'm not usually in favor of their future. Their basic thing is that they believe that Ireland's population will grow to 8 million, 5 to 8 million in 25 years. New old document, moved to 2040. I think they were taking some certain things in Ireland into account. One of the big ones is right now Ireland is kind of a tax haven. And a lot of businesses set up offices in Ireland. All the inherent brouhaha that any major multinational corporation needs. And there was an Irish tiger. It was called that. Oh, it's been 10 years ago. Ireland all of a sudden became this amazing business and economic juggernaut. And I think it was mostly due to having really, really low corporate taxes, which really encouraged a lot of business to come into your town. Basically giving a lot of... Now, this makes it sound bad. I don't think it's particularly bad. The tax breaks to businesses. Now, left-leaning oligarchs don't like that. Their very existence depends on rather high taxation. So if they can continue to at least halfway fund their political promises that got them into power in the first place. Free this, free that, give you this, give you that, socialize this, socialize that, yada, yada, yada. Under the false notion that wealth was derived primarily from owning the means of production. Socialism and communism, which are just brothers to each other, they're all about putting the means of production into, quote, the hands of the people. And they ended up basically saying that meant in the hands of government. And they swore up and down, you know, it's going to be classless. There weren't going to be rulers telling other people what to do. And, of course, that never works. Except in very small, isolated circumstances, that doesn't tend to function. You always need somebody at the head of things, and they tend to produce, you know, they tend to give the guiding vision, and in exchange for providing this guiding vision and making it come about, they are given large, large swaths of money. And of course, the socialists point that out and say that's totally unfair. And you go, I would tend to agree that the formation of corporations basically grew out of the manorial system, where a king and his vassals, knights and such, were given all the land. Now, people have equated land with the means of production, and that's not necessarily true anymore. Circumstances have become somewhat different. Things have changed. I'd say at least half of the richest men today got rich from starting internet companies or companies that relied upon rather new technologies. And built them from the ground up. This is not land. Land is finite. These things, there is no end. Amazon today was created in 1995. That was what, 20, not even quite 25 years ago? Largest, you know, huge company. Jeff Bezos is the richest man in the world now. And you don't see these kinds of riches from him exploiting the fact that he owns half of Africa, for instance. He doesn't. Seattle's a very interesting place. Seattle, Washington area has basically exploded because of all this new stuff. Microsoft is huge. A couple of the other bigger tech companies are also somewhat headquartered there, although they are getting away from it. Because having such a concentration of that much wealth in one place really screws up the place. I can only imagine you can't get restaurant workers there. We should do a thing about that. Most of the calls to have the minimum wage raised to $15 or $20 an hour come from these places. Where you can't even live near Seattle if you don't make at least $100,000 a year. You can't afford housing, which is the biggest thing. So can I be really honest? When push comes to shove, the price of housing dictates almost everything. Well, how do you do something about that? And you go, I don't know. Stefan Molyneux, who thinks about this stuff, I find myself disagreeing with him a lot, actually. But he does think about it, so you can't just take what he says and just throw it out and say, I don't like it. You have to be thoughtful about your disagreements. He says that housing prices will go down when your population goes down. And you go, can I be honest? Let me take Tucumcari, New Mexico, for instance. The price of housing in Tucumcari, it's been shrinking. It's now below 5,000 people. When I lived there, it was probably a little bit over 6,000 people. So it's lost 20% of its population in a matter of, what, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Seems like I'm moving back, so this is something to which I am somewhat interested. Have the housing prices gone down there? And you go, not really. To an extent they have. But it's not happening like you would think would be appropriate. Like I'm living in Portales now, I got a house here. I'm going to sell it. I'm hoping to sell it for about what I bought it for. This town right now is stable, mostly made stable by Eastern New Mexico University that lives here. But the university is facing some interesting trials soon. It's going to end up, can I be honest? I think Eastern New Mexico University either needs to shrink appreciably. And if you plan it, it might shrink at a rate that you can actually kind of predict and be ready for. What I think they're going to do is they're going to go for crazy, wild stuff to try to keep themselves going. And that's, a huge risk. And let me tell you, they just don't have the gravitas to do it. There's going to be consolidations, I must say. And for the most part, I would have to say that, number one, New Mexico, East Mexico University is going to lose its independence. Well, but a lot of things are. It's not like it's specific to them. Might end up being pulled into some kind of state system. Now, this may only happen for a few person functions. Like, I'd be really honest to say that IT at Eastern Oregon University is going to probably go away. And just have a handful of people that help people while some larger consortium of information technology is going to take over. The fact that run your own servers here. The job I have now, not going to exist later. And that's fine. More important is faculty. These teachers. These are the far more important things. So, tend to kind of get mixed up in all that. So yeah, I said, frankly, the university as it is now is going to go away soon. That's just, I think that's a foregone conclusion. And the only thing that we're fighting for now is how long will this kind of setup, this kind of bricks and mortar, Harvard-ish type, residential educational model is really going to go on. You go, I have to say that it isn't a district completely, but a lot of these schools that were basically founded under that kind of a model, a lot of them are just going to have to shutter. For, we're not going to do this anymore. Southern Virginia University, who got bought by a bunch of businessmen, that was a state school that closed. Or it might have been a private. But of that ilk, saying that there's less call for what we're talking about and what we're doing. So, and another reason why, among all the other reasons why I'm leaving, is because I'm leaving for that die model. There's no purpose in hanging around trying to suck the last out of it. It's not a moral thing. It's just I don't like being around stuff that just isn't going to work long term. It doesn't have a reasonable chance of continuing to exist. Well, it should exist. Governments have a funny way of keeping things alive far longer than than is reasonable. But that's also because governments are lack a certain amount of real accountability. So anyway, Ireland 2040 plan. So it talks all about all this stuff, you know, it's all about green this and green that, and we have to do this, and we have to do this, and we have to do this, and you're going, oh my gosh, this is like, the dreams of utopians. Now they strive to push it through by scaring people that they're going to have this huge population bring up. So can I be honest? I think the Irish Tiger was a stunt. It was basically a political stunt and it would go seriously in debt because not only was it going to get all these taxes, it was going to go provide all the services it provided plus more. We which is very typical for socialistic societies to do. I don't know what they think is going to happen. They basically say capitalism is evil, and that's how they take care of it. So, yeah. And they think that that rhetoric will make everything happen. And they're going, well, this is a, I think we've seen a few of the experiments where this was tried. It fell apart and became more of a market. Because you couldn't plan enough. So, so. So I just mentioned. So, talk to you later. Bye.